At this time in America, it's nearly impossible to have a quiet discussion about gun laws. But some people in Ashland are trying. They want the city council to at least consider a pair of ordinances regulating the storage and transportation of guns. And the council will at least have its own discussion about how to proceed in a study session set for next week. The group behind the gun regulation effort is called Citizens for a Safe Ashland. As we have just found out, it's not a very tightly organized or group, but Dave Herring is one of the members of it and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me.
How did this effort come about? Tell us about the formation of Citizens for a Safe Ashland.
Well, it was about a year ago, I guess, after the school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, really, that my wife and I, who are parents of young children ourselves, started talking to friends of ours, often parents as well, about gun safety and gun violence in this country. And, you know, we were frustrated and of course, saddened by that event and frustrated that it seemed like the state and federal government can't do much or at least isn't doing much about gun violence. And so we came up with the idea of trying to take some action on a local level to make guns safer in our own community. And so we got together and talked to city councilors and the mayor and ultimately decided to put this petition online to gather support for the idea of these proposed ordinances you mentioned. And so Citizens for a Safe Ashland is the name that we came up with for that petition effort because we thought it represented the motivations of the petition and the people that were involved.
Is it pretty much just you and your wife then? Or you and
your
wife
and we have a group of probably 20 or 30 friends in town, and that's how it started. We got together talking in person and by email, and several of our friends and neighbors have talked to city councilors, as have we. And then when the petition got going, we've now got over 300 signatures. So
on both of them? I mean, or is it one petition?
It's one petition that lists the text or proposed text of two ordinances, and anyone who wants can go on the petition site and read those.
So what do the ordinances address? Because there's so many different ways you could go when you're talking about regulations,
right,
on pretty much anything. But, you know, with guns, there are lots of different ways to go, too.
And as you probably know, state and federal law severely limit what local jurisdictions can do to affect gun use. And so what we've proposed are two things that are based on other laws that are in effect in other Oregon cities and have been for a few years. The first is an ordinance that would prohibit unauthorized access to guns by children. We see that as important because accidental and intentional shootings of children and by children are, I think, a major public health issue in this country. I read recently that something like 20 kids per day or something like that are admitted to hospitals in this country for reasons of gun injury. And the other ordinance would prohibit the open carry of loaded firearms in public places in the city of Ashland. So it would not affect people with concealed handguns licenses, and it would not prevent people from carrying guns unloaded. The other thing it wouldn't do is create a so-called gun-free zone in Ashland, despite what some people have said about it. That's not true. It would just require people to unload their guns when carrying them openly in public.
Within Ashland itself, have you noticed much issue with either of these areas thus far, or is it more to make a statement? I mean, have you noticed a lot of open carry in Ashland, or have you noticed issues with kids in Ashland exposed to guns?
Well, I think that we're lucky in that we live in a fairly safe town, but I don't think that, and so I haven't. I don't think this has been a problem yet here, although we also know that places where there have been mass shootings and gun violence across this country are also places where people didn't expect it and where there hasn't been a history of gun violence. Newtown is an example. That's not to say Ashland's immune from violence. As you know, we have had recent murders here, some brutal murder recently. Didn't maybe involve guns, but that doesn't mean that that violence can't happen here. And the other thing is that I think that by starting in local jurisdictions like this, even if it isn't a big problem here, I think this ought to be these sorts of regulations ought to apply in all sorts of cities. And so we're just hoping to get it started.
Dave Herring's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a member of the group Citizens for a Safe Ashland. We're talking about a petition drive going to convince the city council to at least consider a couple of ordinances regulating guns, one to ban the open carry of guns, the other one to regulate access by children to guns. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about the kids and guns issue first, because I want to get into a little more depth on what the proposal is here and what the regulations would be and what the penalties for that matter.
Sure. So I don't have the text of the ordinance in front of me, but like I say, it's based on a law that's been in place up in the Portland area. And the idea is that if a child gains unauthorized access to a gun and uses it, then the owner of that gun could be penalized. I think it's a misdemeanor as it's written in the draft. One thing I wanted to say is, of course, we've just proposed these, and it's going to be up to the Ashland City Council, and I'm sure they'll ask their city attorney to review these, and you know, they may want to modify these ordinances as they see fit.
But as you say, these actually have gotten a road test somewhere else. This is not
that's right.
They're, not just a you know pulled out.
No,
of thin
we
air
didn't.
Thing.
We didn't make them up. The text is entirely based on laws that are in place in actually a lot of Oregon cities, and not just big cities. They are in place in Portland, and you hear a lot about that. But also the open carry ordinance is for something very similar is in effect in Astoria and Newport and the Salem area. Even the little town of Independence, Oregon, has a similar law.
Have there been issues with open carry in Ashland? I mean, I know that there was a whole dust-up with Starbucks sometime last year about Starbucks welcoming people with openly carrying guns.
Right. I think that most of the open carry that you see in Ashland is open carry for political purposes. People are trying to make a statement about their gun rights. And you know, I've heard that when we've had some demonstrations against gun violence, there have been counter demonstrations by people carrying weapons. I don't think that this ordinance would actually prohibit that sort of political speech at all, and that's one thing I like about it. You know, really, I have to say I have personally a lot of respect for gun owners who are responsible with their weapons. A lot of my close friends and colleagues and even family members enjoy hunting and shooting sports, and I don't think that these ordinances would restrict those people's activities at all or take away anyone's gun rights.
You're not talking about any of the hot button issues.
No,
you're not talking about registration or
no.
Or
really, this is a really moderate proposal, I think. And most of the people I've talked to in Ashland think it's just common sense. You know, we don't want to have kids near guns, and we don't want to have people brandishing loaded weapons around in public places.
So I know you don't have you mentioned you don't have the text of the ordinance in front of you on the kids and guns proposed ordinance. But I mean, is it just trigger locks? Does it go beyond trigger locks? I mean, what kinds of things are you talking about there?
My understanding is that if the weapon is secured or has a trigger lock, that's right. That's enough protection. What we don't want is kids to gain access to a gun that they can use. But again, I'd have to look more closely at the petition.
So when did you first put the stuff up online? When did you go to the website and put your stuff there?
It's been about a couple of months, I think. And, you know, it's my first experience with this sort of online petition thing. We, frankly, everybody that's been involved in the effort, like I say, we're all you know, regular people here in town. We're not full-time lobbyists or anything like that. So we have jobs and kids and things to do. So we didn't really have the time to go around necessarily knocking on doors or talking to people. And so we chose this online method as a means of spreading the word sort of passively. And, it, you know, it's received a good response and mostly a local response, especially until some of this news coverage started. Then we started getting some supporters from out of town, but until recently we had an overwhelmingly local response from Ashland and the Rogue Valley.
Well, if you started this a couple of months ago, you obviously had the holiday season in the middle of this, people busy with lots of other things,
right.
But were you surprised at all at the rate, either fast or slow, at which the signatures came on?
Well, no, I wasn't really. I think that I have to admit I'm personally not on Facebook, and I think that if some of the people doing this had more of a social media presence, it might have gone faster. But what I was surprised by is just the broad variety of people that chose to respond to the petition and some of the comments people have left. We've had comments from people that own guns, support from teachers and school administrators, doctors and nurses. We had some people from the Ashland Shakespeare who have signed it. So even some business owners from downtown Ashland. So I guess what I'm saying is the overwhelming impression I've gotten is that here locally in Ashland, this seems to have wide support.
But you mentioned you're starting to hear from people outside of town as well, since the news coverage started, certainly.
Yeah, we are. And you know, there's been some opposition as well, voiced from people outside of town. And I've been pleased that recently we've had some support from outside of town as well, including just the other day we got an email from somebody at the Newtown Action Alliance, who's somebody who actually had a child at Sandy Hook Elementary, who they're working for similar laws across the country, and they've written a letter to the Ashland City Council supporting this.
Is this some of the response from out of town was from people who were not pleased. I think you just referenced that.
Right.
One of them was along the lines of, don't spend a dollar in Ashland if they go ahead and pass this.
That's right. I don't think that's a very well, personally, I'm not worried about that threat. I don't think gun rights activists are really the economic engine of this town. I think it's a local issue, and I think people here can make up their own minds how to regulate this.
You know, given the context in which this happens, I mean, you're talking about feelings about wanting to do something after the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, watching Congress do nothing. I mean, is this more symbolic than trying to affect actual behavioral change in Ashland?
Well, I think yes and no. First of all, I'd say in a way it is, but also I'd point out that I think symbols have power. I think that sometimes symbols are important. So to the extent that it's symbolic, I think it's still worthwhile. The other thing is I see it as sort of analogous to a lot of other laws we have that are more preemptory or precautionary. One example that comes to mind is the driving under the influence law. You know, all sorts of responsible people go somewhere and have a couple of drinks and then have to decide whether to drive home. The fact that they might get pulled over and get in trouble for driving drunk just serves as a reminder to them, I think, to act responsibly. And this is the sort of thing that these ordinances might do. You know, just having this law out there might remind somebody, oh, I need to unload that gun, or oh, the kids are coming over, I need to do something to prevent access to my guns by children.
So, Dave Herring, have members of your group, you mentioned something about some contact with city council members. How much pre-lobbying or pre-information or putting of ordinances into hands has there been thus far?
Well, before we even got to the point of this petition, we contacted the city council and the mayor by email several times, and then subsequently in person. I think we've had members of our group talk to just about every member of the city council and the mayor at least once. I've spoken to a couple of members of the city council on more than one occasion about it. I think we'll probably have more contact as it goes forward after they address the issue in their study session on the 3rd.
And that is what's going to happen on the 3rd. There'll be a study session.
That's what I understand, is on February 3rd, the city council is going to really address this issue for the first time. And it's a study session. So I think it's an open public meeting, but I don't believe they're going to be taking any public comment at that point. It's just them talking amongst themselves about how to deal with the issue.
Was there much convincing? It sounds like it's been a fairly smooth process to at least get them to have a study session and talk about it anyway. That doesn't mean anything's going to happen, obviously, a study session.
Right. Yeah. I'm really curious to see what happens after that study session. I think we've had some counselors that have been very supportive, others that haven't really taken a position either way. So we'll just have to see.
All right. And will you be disappointed if they decide not to press ahead with an ordinance and decide just to leave it at, well, we discussed it, let's move on to other things?
You know, I don't think I'll be very disappointed. I think I've tried to and all of us that are working on this have tried to sort of let go of that outcome a little bit and just say, well, we've put the issue out there. Now it's for, you know, for our elected representatives and for other citizens in town here to discuss and decide which way they want to go. I don't think it's a very risky decision. If the city council wanted to go forward, I don't think there's a lot of political risk for them there. And so I hope that they're courageous enough to do something about it.
So is there any talk about pushing with a ballot measure if the council decides not to move, or do you think you'd leave it there?
You know, I haven't thought about it, to tell you the truth. I think we should just see what they do. I think that it should be an issue that could be decided by, you know, an elected representative body like the council. I don't think it should have to go to an election, but maybe that would be an option.
Okay. Well, no more then after the study session, which will be in the evening on February 3rd, which is next Monday, correct?
I think so.
Okay. Dave Herring is one of the members of Citizens for a Safe Ashland, trying to persuade the city council to adopt a couple of ordinances regulating regulating guns in Ashland. Dave, thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
You bet. I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks.